Morning. So Molly said in her prayer, this is the high point. No pressure. Actually, we know this stuff. Every summer we talk about prosperity as a spiritual journey. And prosperity means more than money. It means abundance. It means love, health, happiness, and wealth. Jesus said he came that we might have life more abundantly. That's what we're talking about when we say prosperity principles. Principles are universal laws. They are the way the world works. They can be applied to any area of life. And we have been given the power and the responsibility to create our own experience by using them. So we started this series last week, combining Unity's prosperity teachings with the five basic principles or universal spiritual laws that are taught in Unity. If you're new today, you might have been given a bulletin that has the five principles on the back of it. None of this is new. None of it belongs to Unity. These are ancient spiritual teachings. But Unity, 20-some years ago, boiled these laws down to five bullet points, the five principles. And last week we talked about principles one and two. God is all there is, therefore you are part of God. You are divine. You have all the attributes of God in you, just as a drop of ocean water has all the elements of the ocean. You are part of it and one with it. So principles one and two are the foundation of everything. Principle three today is where we take these lofty concepts and begin putting them into action. Principle three says, our thoughts have creative power. Whatever we believe most deeply shows up in our lives. So here we are, we're divine beings with creative power, living in an ocean of God where all things are possible. Why aren't we more excited about that? Principle three, the power of our thoughts, is the one most emphasized in prosperity teachings, although I think all five are important. But naturally, a law that says you'll get whatever you think about lends itself to wishes fulfilled. This idea has been especially trendy the last several years. The law of attraction, the secret, what you believe you can achieve, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Books have been written about it, movies, PBS specials, countless workshops, seminars, speakers. It has been heralded as the key to life and dismissed as New Age magical thinking. But it remains a spiritual law. Universal laws don't change. They are in effect all the time, whether you believe it or not, whether you use them or not. And this law says what happens in your life is the result of your consciousness, what you think, believe, feel, and expect. And it's not all conscious, but the more we pay attention to our thoughts, the better chance we have to create deliberately. The Buddha said 2,500 years ago, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the measure you give is the measure you get back. Actually, that's part of a longer passage in the book of Luke where Jesus said, what goes around comes around. He used different words. He said, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He's not only saying you get what you give, but he's explaining how the principle works. It multiplies, pressed down, running over. You get back more than you give. It's abundance. I've heard some of you say you don't want to give in order to get something back. Sorry. That's the law. If you give, it will be given to you and it will be multiplied. That's how all of nature works. This week, a friend brought me a sack of summer produce from her garden because she had so much. If you plant a watermelon seed in the ground, you don't get a watermelon. You get a vine with lots of watermelons on it. The same for tomatoes and zucchini and flowers. Nature proliferates. Any little thing planted in fertile soil grows and gives back to you multiplied. In spiritual law, thoughts are seeds. If they are planted in the fertile soil of what Unity's founders called substance, I might call it divine creative energy, sometimes it's called the Holy Spirit, but they proliferate, thoughts proliferate. We're surrounded by this invisible substance that responds to our thoughts, which are energetic vibrations, and reflect them to us in physical form. So that's a mixed metaphor. Whatever works for you, go with the garden, seeds planted in fertile soil, or go with the mirror. The universe reflects your own energy back to you. But that's called manifestation, when something we thought shows up in our lives. And it doesn't happen with every passing whim. It happens with the thoughts we deeply believe and feel most strongly about. This is the greatest awareness we have toward conscious evolution. We are not just letting things happen or watching what happens. We are participating in the ongoing creation of the universe. Imperfectly, of course. But the human species is now able to imagine a future and move toward it physically and metaphysically. We don't just take outward action. We work within to create the conditions necessary for manifestation, like tending a garden. We live from the inside out. Spiritual teachers have always known about the power of thought. Science now has been confirming it for decades, and you've heard about all those studies. 20 years ago, a group of people who meditated for a couple of months lowered violent crime in Washington, D.C. by 23%. The police were amazed. We've seen children send loving thoughts to plants that grew better than the unloved plants. We've seen pictures of water crystals that were blessed or hated. I don't think there's much argument anymore that thoughts have power and energy. The question is, how much? Because life still hurts sometimes. And if we were really creating our own experience, wouldn't it be blissful all the time? Wouldn't we all be healthy and wealthy? Would we? What have been the greatest periods of growth in your life? What have you learned the most from? What was necessary for you to go through to get where you are now? Was it all fun and games? Didn't some hard times lead to your good? Would you trade them? Who's to say we would all be healthy and wealthy if it really were up to us? Because it is up to us. And a lot of us love a challenge. Some of you chose lifetime challenges. We want to grow. We even want transformation. And it is those deepest intentions that are the strongest creators. So it's more than conscious thought. It is beliefs, feelings, intentions, even soul purpose. And we're not working alone. This is co-creation. You are never separate from the divine. Call it a higher power, your higher self, working with you on your behalf. And it's all one. It's all you. It's your self with a capital S. You're just aware of some levels of vibration and not others. This is important to know for creating an abundant life. Knowing that a higher power is working with you, then you can assume whatever happens is your highest good. You can know it's happening for you, not to you. You can call it good. Of course, life sometimes hurts. But we have such a limited view of what's going on. We don't know when or why people should die. We don't know whether someone should be rich or happy or healthy all the time. We cause ourselves so much misery by labeling certain events as bad and resisting what is. We might have agreed to some of these difficulties. We volunteered to come here for spiritual growth, so bring it on. And call it good, whatever happens. I think it is so much easier to hold a consciousness of general well-being and happy expectation than to make lists and treasure maps and vision boards, trying to pinpoint exactly what you want and then say 200 affirmations a day hoping to get it. You can do that, and that works, but you can also just know that all is well. This is simple but not easy. Because it is not easy, a lot of disillusionment and doubt have developed about this law and the creative power of thoughts. We appear to fail. We're confused by some of the results. We have trouble believing and staying positive. And our DNA is working against us. We are hardwired to focus on the negative. It's a survival mechanism. Back in the cave, we needed to notice what was wrong. We needed to guard against what might be coming. And the humans who were most cautious and vigilant survived and produced us. Yeah, I know. I get it. But we all come from a long line of worriers. So we are naturally a little negative. And our brains have something called the reticular activating system. And one of the things it does is compile evidence to support what we already believe. This is what happens when you think you might buy a red car, and then you see red cars all over the road. Your brain is finding them for you. So once a negative thought or fear is lodged in your brain, which is likely given our ancestry, then our minds keep finding ways to reinforce it. But it works for good too. So whenever you can plant a happy thought, you'll find evidence for that. That is why we in Unity spend so much time focusing on what we call prosperity principles. And we need a better name for them. Happy life principles. Create your experience principles, abundance principles. We're trying to apply spiritual laws in our daily lives and shift our consciousness into deliberate creation. So we have to rethink how life works and then practice it. In our yearly prosperity class, we rethink and practice for 10 weeks. And we're just scratching the surface. Although, I gotta say, the prosperity class we had this spring is still yielding some amazing results for the 18 or 20 people who were in it. Houses have been bought and sold, new careers, new chapters of life, amazing synchronicities have turned up. But all of the action steps and the teachings boil down to this: pay attention to your thoughts. What do you expect in life? What do you truly want? You have heard me say a lot this year, it's okay to want. That's another part of our evolution. Wanting more drives us to be, do, and have more. Like a baby wants to walk. Desire drives our growth. There's nothing wrong with desire. Consider, too, what you don't really want. You might not care about having a lot of money. You might be perfectly happy staying single. You might not be driven by a career. So don't waste any energy trying to manifest what society values, but you don't. If you do want something, go ahead and be happy without it. Happy where you are, eager for more. Rather than focusing on what's wrong now and what's not here yet, or waiting to be happy once you get healthier or find your soulmate or lose 10 pounds, be as happy as if you already had it. Because you already do. You just can't see it yet. Remember, it's all God, principle one. So everything's already here. There is no lack, only plenty. Things just have to unfold in our physical time and space. But every possible outcome already exists, and you'll get the one you focus on. Actually, you'll get more good than you imagined, like the watermelon seed that proliferates. Your thoughts are returned to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, good or bad. So pay attention to your thoughts. Thinking's not enough, you say. We've got to take action. Well, let's go back to the passage we read from Jesus. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. He's saying you have control over what comes into your life because it will match exactly what you put out there. So, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Give. That is the single most important action you can take to create the life you want. If you want money, give money. It seems counterintuitive in our society. We know it better with other things. If you want love, give love. If you want health, you know, people in this church who go through an illness or injury, and there have been a lot of them lately, so often they tell me they are amazed by others of you who help them. You bring food, you send cards. They're astonished at the nurturing they receive. And sometimes they say, I didn't know I was so loved. And I nearly always point out how much they have given through the years. Give and it will be given to you in whatever form you need. We know this is spiritual law, but it's also cultural. To have a friend, be a friend. Smile and the world smiles with you. And here's a hard one. If you want more time, give your time. It's easier to say, oh, I don't have time to volunteer. I don't have time to write a book. I don't have time to travel. But giving time creates more time shaken together, running over. The law applies to everything, even time. So much of what happens in your life is up to you, according to the law. The universe was set up that way. Whatever you can imagine is already one of the possible outcomes, so focus on that. Pay attention to your thoughts. They don't have to be specific. Just know you live in a stream of well-being that dominates this planet. Most things work out. Most days are good. And if they're not right now for you, they will be again. Jesus also said, look past appearances. Judge with right judgment. See it rightly. Ernest Holmes, who founded Science of Mind, which is another name for Law of Attraction or Law of Mind Action, Ernest Holmes said, there is a power for good in the universe and we can use it. When we don't actively use it, when we don't pay attention, it's like letting weeds grow in the garden. But we know more all the time about how to use divine power, if you believe you can. It starts in thought, and there is help available. So next week, we'll talk about prayer. Let's take these thoughts into meditation. We meditate by simply relaxing and turning within. You might close your eyes. You might take a deep breath. Remember to lower your shoulders and let the chair support you. It can be overwhelming to contemplate the power we have, even when we feel like pipsqueak human beings. We are still connected to the divine. We are still God expressing in human bodies. So we have power and divine energy available to us. We have the qualities of God: love, order, will, life. We can express our own divinity in any way that is needed. And knowing the law, we know that whatever we give is what we will get. Shall we pay attention to what we give? And thought precedes action. So we pay attention to what we think. So in these moments of quiet, turn within and just notice what you have been thinking lately. What's been on your mind? How did you feel about it? And do you want more of that? If so, stay focused on that. Feel it as deeply as you can. If not, you have the power to change your thoughts. Not always easy, but you have the power. So pick another one. What do you appreciate? What are you grateful for? What are you looking forward to? What have been some of the best days of your life? Even if they were painful, what have been some of the most important days of your life? Whatever has happened for you, there is more where that came from. And you get to choose. With your focus of attention, you get to choose what more comes into your life. This is the power of God in us. This is the divine presence that is with us and in us, expressing as us. As you. Whenever you show up, God is. Because you are a drop in that ocean. You are a part of that presence. And you are never separate from the source of all creation. And so it is. Amen.